Welcome to The Cat Lady, the show where people opine about felines. I'm Lana, the Cat Lady, and each episode I invite a person I think is awesome to react about cats. Cat lover, cat hater, or cat agnostic. I'm curious what makes them tick.
Today's guest is an armchair anthropologist specializing in human-cat relations. In addition to work as an actor in New York City, Angelica brings both scientific and dating app expertise to bear on her favorite topic, cats.
I'm so happy to have you here.
It's my pleasure. There's nothing I love talking about more than cats.
All right. So let's get started with your first memory of a cat.
You know, I think it's when we adopted my childhood cat. And I was like 5 or 6, maybe 5. And we were intending to go get a rabbit. The bunny we had died, which is a good reason to replace the rabbit. And so, yeah, you can't just hang on to the old one when it's dead. So we went to the Alamo Hay and Grain, which was like a granary for, I suppose, horses mostly. There were people in the area I lived who had horses. And we also knew that they had some small pets there. So we went and we saw that there were some bunnies and then there were, you know, little baby chicks and baby ducks. And in a really small kennel, there was a teeny tiny black tortoiseshell cat. And we were like, well, who is that? And the owner was like, oh yeah, there's a barn cat who is great because she keeps away the mice from the grain supply. But this was the runt and she's not really having success, you know, staying in the litter with her mother. So we put her in here and we've been feeding her, but we don't really know what to do with her. And she stuck her little paw through the corners of the kennel and reached out to us as if to say, me, you're looking for me.
Oh.
So there was a family conference and we got the first cat and I suppose only cat so far that my nuclear family has ever had. And when they asked how much she was, he said, she's free. Just take her. And we did.
What was her name?
Snapple. Yeah, it was sort of the only thing my whole family liked. And also her tortoiseshell speckles, we thought sort of looked like the tea leaves that settle at the bottom of a Snapple bottle.
That is so cute. Did you all go home and have a bunch of Snapples?
You know, Snapples are sort of a treat in 1993, so we probably didn't have 5 on hand.
So then what was the transition like? Because you were used to caring for a bunny, right?
Yeah, caring for a bunny is probably a generous term. I'm sure that someone cared for the bunny, but I have no warm feelings toward Lily. Like, what was she doing for me? Just kind of scaring me and sometimes scratching if I tried to hold her for too long with her back feet. So I'm sure things were going on with Lily. I was not abreast of them. So I was just learning really how to interact with pet number one.
That feels a little cold, but...
Take it up with Lily. It was her personality. Listen, scratch me once, shame on you. Scratch me twice, shame on me.
Okay, so then Snapple.
Snapple, what a good cat. Snapple lived to be 19.
Whoa.
Yeah, she could have voted for President Obama in his second term.
Wow, and I think she would have.
I actually disagree. I think that she's probably Green Party or Libertarian.
Really?
Yeah. I assume that the primary value is the natural world. She was an indoor-outdoor cat.
Uh-huh.
So I think that green makes sense for that. And she doesn't really care if the policies have negative impacts in other arenas because she doesn't participate in those arenas.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also think that most cats are probably libertarian, where it's like, I don't super care what you do, but don't mess up my business.
Mm.
Which is how I would distill libertarianism.
Okay, yeah. I think that's a fair assessment of cat personality.
Yes. However, I will say she was black, so representation matters. That might have been a motivating factor to go for Obama. In fairness.
Yeah. The only animals that are ever welcomed into the political discussion, we have what? Turkeys, elephants, donkeys. All right. Is that it? It feels a little exclusive to me.
Yeah, well, you know, there's this whole question of who's allowed to be a first pet. And I do think that there's a national bias towards dogs in that regard. Mm. But, you know, let's give it up for Sox, the Clinton's cat, who, you know, dealt with the stress of it all with a lot of grace, handled the paparazzi, I'm sure was a good friend to Chelsea. Can't imagine being an only child in the White House. Mm. So not every president is brave enough to go the cat route. But I think Sox was probably a good boy.
You know your political pets. I have to say I'm impressed.
Yes, thank you. It's all a part of cultivating my highly useful knowledge base.
It's all led to this one moment, Angelica.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So after Snapple, mm-hmm. after you, I am assuming, grew up, left the house, did you get a new pet?
So I have never had my own pet independent of my family. It just doesn't really seem like now is the time to take on the responsibility of a pet. Sort of think it's a two-man job. So if there are any future cat dads out there listening, looking for someone to commit to and raise a cat with. But yeah, it was for years coming home, visiting Snapple, convinced that it would be the last time I would see her, and crying every time I left because I was like, she's 16. I'm never going to see her again. But of course, there were several times that I did keep seeing her because she held on so long.
Did you have moments of, I should go get my own pet?
No, I am such a little practical person that I don't even entertain the idea, which I think is why I'm so committed to celebrating other people's cats, because right now it's a surrogacy that I can enjoy, but really can't afford to have my own. And then also why my current living situation is so excellent, because my roommate has a cat and she's truly the light of my life.
Tell me about this cat.
This is Midge. Midge is an excellent cat. Let me tell you some of her best features, category physical. She has one butterscotch cheek and one chocolate cheek. And she also has paws that correspond to those flavors. So her left paw is butterscotch and her right paw is chocolate swirl. Now, we have conducted several very scientific experiments with people who meet Midge, asking which paw is softer. And for months, we were all convinced it was the butterscotch paw. However, a transition happened maybe a year into Midge's life where they evened out, and at times the chocolate one feels softer. She also has one half of her mouth covered in black lipstick because she's sort of edgy, but in a Queen Amidala way. More about Midge. She was a very lean, spry kitty. She's still very agile, but she has put on weight in a way that's really working for her. We like to say that she's thick with two C's, the way that the young people do on Instagram, which is no surprise. When she went through heat, we were like, well, what is her personality going to be like? Is it going to be the same? When I looked it up, what the internet told me was the main difference for cats after they go through their heat and then are neutered is that, and this is a quote from the science of the internet, after mate-seeking behavior ceases, abdominal weight gain is likely, which is the truest thing I've ever heard for any species. When mate-seeking behavior ceases, abdominal weight gain is likely.
Oh, Angelica, you're explaining so much.
Oh, it's so good. So she's sort of pear-shaped now, which I appreciate and relate to. Should I go on about Midge's physical appearance?
You are welcome to.
Okay, more about Midge's physical appearance. She has white socks on her feet, and then she has this like secret butterscotch floof on the back of her kitty thighs. So it's really fuzzy wuzzy, and it's so soft. People get afraid because it's sort of near her butt, but it's not, it isn't her actual butt. It's just the back of her thighs, and it's so fluffy. My God, she's just a magnificent animal to behold.
I'm feeling almost speechless when I when I think of the floof and the fuzzy wuzzies. I just,
let me tell you, I didn't even talk about the peg legs or the squirrel flub. So,
whew.
I edited for time.
I don't know if we could handle it.
I know.
Okay, so now that we've thoroughly described Midge's physical mm-hmm. appearance, mm-hmm. let's move on to the emotive relational qualities.
Yes, her personality, which is so excellent. She has a wonderful personality. I would say that I really admire the way that Midge manages her time, because she does have a good balance of me time, group time, quality one-on-one time. Her mother works from home, and she does a great job of assisting her throughout the day. So she's usually involved in Kristen's room. She manages the printer, any deliveries that come in, and of course, moral support. She also is such an inspiration when it comes to physical activity. We've got a long hallway that she does HIIT workouts in. So she's really not much for endurance, but high intensity interval training, she's great. So she'll do her big zooms, and if she ever needs to turn a corner, she parkours. So she'll like run and jump off and then rebound. And then, you know, she's really thoughtful in terms of spreading out her affection. So she will spend time in all three of the non-mom rooms. There's one she sort of prefers to do a sun bath in, one that she'll check out birds in, and then another one that's kind of off limits sometimes. So really precious time when she gets to be in there with that roommate. She also is very protective. She's so good about keeping those big bad pigeons away from the apartment. Mm-hmm. She also is such a complimentary eater. If you make chicken, she will enjoy it, which is just nice to be able to cook for someone who isn't going to criticize or wish that you'd made something different. She's really game for anything in a way that feels very supportive. She also is really prone to make an effort when there's people over. Like if there's company over and maybe she's not really in the mood to, you know, like have a big party, she's maybe not going to play the board game that is being played, but she'll sit in the living room. So she'll just take a chair maybe on the other side and she'll be like, yeah, I don't think that I have the energy to be involved, but I want to show you that I appreciate that you came over today. So she'll sit nearby, and she likes group settings in that way.
Wow. Midge just sets the bar in every arena. I'm feeling so inspired and also a little intimidated, I have to be honest.
Let me tell you, if you walk into our apartment, we will ask if you're cat confident. Mm-hmm. And if someone hedges for a moment, the answer is no, you're not. Someone's like, I think so, I've held cats before. I'm like, no, not cat confident. When you ask a real cat person if they are cat confident, they will straighten their spine, lift their chin, and say with the greatest tone of responsibility they can, yes. And that's a person you can just hand the cat to. And they're going to know how to appreciate, respect, and support the hind legs. Mm-hmm. And when Midge encounters someone who is truly cat confident, she is very at ease. So I am sure that if you were to meet her in person, you would have maybe not, you know, the longest one-on-one visit, but she would be held and give your face a good little sniff and then say, welcome to our home. I mean, we once had someone over who was trying to hold her and she was a little wiggly. And we were like, you know, she actually is pretty good being held like a baby if you want to try to like flip her to hold her like a baby, which seems obvious to me. You would support under her armpits and then swing the rumpus around. Mm-hmm. And this dear person kind of tried to log roll her. And we were like, oh no. And she immediately was like, I'm getting out of here. No way. Yeah, she's not aggressive, but she will stand up for herself. So she'll wiggle out of there if she's got to wiggle out of there.
Yeah, she'll model some good boundaries.
Exactly. Listen, you teach people how to treat you, and you can't teach people that log rolling a cat is okay. Do you get much quality time with cats these days?
The last quality time that I had was over the holidays.
Ooh, that's pretty recent.
It was, and it was wonderful. I cat sat my neighbor cat, Willow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, she and I were friendly, but we weren't very close.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was just very professional. She clearly understood that I had been hired in some capacity to meet her needs.
Yes.
And I was showing up on time, and because I was fulfilling my contract, she was very pleasant. And I think that I transgressed a little bit there because I started to get too comfortable. And I started to take her goodwill for granted. Yeah, so on Christmas Day, I, with permission from the owners, did not go at the usual morning time. I actually went quite late near the end of the day.
Wow.
And you know, I made the mistake of not discussing this with my client. And I just went to her people. So I came in and she walked towards me, so everything was fine. And then when I reached out to pet her, she stalked away.
Wow. She showed you.
She did, but she wasn't finished. She did this several times, culminating in a dramatic bound across the room, landed on her perch, and then turned her back to me and refused to engage.
Wow. It really feels like she was not just doing what she needed to do because she was mad. She was making a show of it.
She was. And I don't think she felt quite comfortable expressing that she had been hurt in some way, because we had started to bond. You know, our cuddle sessions were definitely progressing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she wasn't ready to be vulnerable, and I was just clueless. So that was not a good combination.
No, it's so hard. You know, I find that maybe my greatest disappointment in a human cat relationship is that cats are nonverbal.
Mm-hmm. She started warming up. And then one day when I came in, she was nowhere to be found. And my first thought was, oh no, we've regressed. But then when I walked in, there was a little mouse waiting for me.
Like a, it used to be alive kind of mouse?
It did. It used to be alive kind of mouse. And then she came out, and after that, we were thick as thieves.
Yes. See, I wonder though, was that like an apology present for having spurned you a few days prior? Or do you think she didn't realize it was Christmas time? And she was like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing. I didn't get Lana a present. And then she was like, I got to figure something out.
Yeah. Very smart, Angelica. I have to say, I think it's the latter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's still working through some things.
Yeah.
It was a very special time together.
Yeah, cat sitting has been a great source of joy in my cat-free life years.
Mm.
My sister's fiance is Russian, and he has told me this joke that I love, but it really works best with the dialect. So he has posed, you know, what's the difference between cats and dogs? And he says, you know, a dog, a person brings food, brings water, brings love, and the dog thinks, look at this person, provides me everything I need. He must be a god. And then cat sit and person bring food and water and affection. And this cat thinks, oh, this person brings me everything I need. I must be a god. And that's what we can never forget about cats. Our happiness is not the purpose. They are the purpose. So I cannot bring myself to bring a cat into my possession. Sorry, that is such a dehumanizing word. It's so objectifying. Not my possession, my guardianship, my, what's the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Well, caretaker. Well, I can't become a cat's caretaker unless it's right. I will tell you about, so when I get frustrated on dating apps, sometimes the policy just becomes, if there's a cat in the picture, I swipe right. Like, if it's too hard to decide if this person is interesting or not, I'm like, you have a cat, that's a place to start.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this gentleman who I guess lives in Maryland, maybe, who came up on my Bumble, and his picture was of him holding a cat with like an old fashioned curled lawyer's wig and a gown. And I messaged him like, excuse me, can you tell me more about your cat? Is that a barrister's wig? And he responds, who? Ruth Bader Kittensburg? I was like, oh my gosh. Sometimes I have done this before and they think that I want to move on from the cat way too quickly. I'm like, I don't care about you. I have so many questions about the cat. So I asked him like, what are her favorite hobbies? I thought that it would be like, oh, she loves lounging in the sun. She loves this toy. She sleeps all day is what I expected. And man, he blew me away when he responded, adjudicating the wicked. Yes. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, adjudicating the wicked morning, noon, and night. What a good girl. But you can't start a long-distance relationship for the pet because there's a lot of communicating that has to go on before you meet that pet. Mm-hmm. Not worth it. Pretty cool stuff. I wish him and Ruth very well wherever they are.